This is Dwelling On, where we dwell on all things thriving and surviving in this homemaker life. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to talk about homesteading. I do want to give you a quick update. The show is going to be moving, so we are now going to go live on every Wednesday instead of every Tuesday. So I don't want you to forget. If you don't want to forget, at least on Spotify, there's actually a little notification bell that you can hit when you're following us, and that will actually let your phone notify you whenever we upload a new episode. So definitely do that, so that way you don't forget when we are uploading. Last week we talked a little bit about self-care, and we challenged you to add in little moments of self-care throughout your daily or weekly routine. Did you add any self-care in this week, Amanda?
Yeah, actually I did. Remember last week I talked about how my toenails were still colored red from Christmas?
Yes.
So I took a really long shower today, and before I got in the shower, I cleaned off my toes and cleaned them all up, got in the shower, took a nice shower. I'm talking like probably 25 minutes. It was a good one. Well, Vic and Victor were both napping.
Nice.
So I felt like I could like fully just like chill out in the shower. So I did that, and and then I painted my toes. So we're good now. Yeah, it was very nice. And I just always feel better when my toenails are painted, because like I stare at them a lot. Yeah. You know, they're like always there.
Whenever I fresh paint them, then I like catch myself like accidentally glancing like, ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that is what I did. I probably could have done more, but it's a step in the right direction. How about you?
I feel like I fail at every challenge.
No, you did it this time.
I did, but I didn't like it. So when was it? I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. I actually took a nap during Jack's nap. It wasn't on Wednesday. Maybe it was Thursday. I don't really know. One of the days this week, I took a nap during Jack's nap, and I just tried to relax the whole time and not doing anything. And then it came to the evening, and I still had a lot of stuff to do. And then I got really stressed, and then I had a full panic attack, and I got really mad at myself that I didn't do stuff earlier that day. And even when I was napping, I only napped for 30 minutes, and then I laid in the bed the rest of the time. He sleeps for like 2 hours, and I just laid there like, I wish I could be sleeping right now.
I think that's the hard part about napping is, in reality, you feel so much better when you get stuff done.
Yeah.
Right? So when you take a nap, you're not getting the stuff done that you have in the back of your head, and then you feel worse.
Yeah.
But like, your body needs the rest.
Yeah, I was really,
but your
really
brain
tired.
Is the one that's like confused on if it should be happy or mad.
Exactly. That's what I was just like, so tired that I really needed it. And I guess I should have just slept for that 30 minutes, woke up, and then did as much as I could. But I was really trying to like be like, okay, no, this is my day. Like, this is what I'm doing. But I don't know. Maybe I'd rather be tired.
Yeah. See, the other bad thing about taking naps is sometimes it messes with your night sleep.
Yeah.
So like you don't fall asleep at the same time, or your sleep just isn't the same. And I struggle with that too. So it's like a really fine line between having a good nap and just like ruining everything.
Yeah. Almost all the time, if I do nap, I wake up crankier than I did.
Yep.
I never really wake up refreshed.
Yeah. I like took the shower today. Really long shower, and then I actually ended up falling asleep on the couch unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up when Victor woke up from his nap, and that actually felt really good because it was unexpected. Like, I was just laying on the couch and like, oh, okay, I guess I could fall asleep.
Nice.
And then woke up to Victor.
There you go.
So that felt good because I had already done stuff before. Right. I napped. So that's what I always try to do when I I'm taking a nap that day. When Victor goes down for his nap, I like do the cleaning up around the house or whatever it is that's on my mind. And then I give myself the rest time after it's done.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll try that this week.
Yeah.
But I have determined, so the positive note, I have determined that Wednesday nights, I'm allowed to just watch TV and do whatever I want and not work on anything. So.
Great idea.
Wednesday nights are my night because we have a babysitter on Wednesday. So I get extra time that day to do stuff.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So then at night I can just relax. So Wednesdays are now my new favorite day of the week.
No joke. That's the best day ever. Mm-hmm. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. So she comes for 3 hours. So
nice. Helps
a lot.
Definitely.
All right. So let's get into this week's topic, homesteading. So Amanda actually brought up this topic. And if you follow me on any sort of social media whatsoever, then you will know that I was very excited to talk about this topic today.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, what is this homesteading thing?
So I think it can mean a lot of things to different people. Actually, my last YouTube video was all about what homesteading means to me. It was a collab that I did with a ton of other homesteaders, some who are like way experienced, like farmers down to beginners like me. And then a lot of people are in the middle. So it was really fun to see what it meant to everybody. But to me, it really means moving towards a more from scratch life, a more sustainable life, more homemade, really just slowing things down, taking time to know where your stuff comes from, taking the time to pretty much make or do anything yourself, and just be more mindful about things.
So if you could say like your top three things that you've done so far on this journey, what would you say are your top three?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
That's okay. Well, one would be sourcing food. So I'm still on the journey to source better food, but finding local places to source meat from and dairy. So I found my dairy source. I'm still working on the meat source. Hopefully I'm going to get back to the farmer's market soon. It is open here, but it's just not really produce season. So it's not really worth going. It's inside too. There's something about, I don't know. It's just not as magical as an outdoor farmer's market. So anyways,
yeah, for sure.
Being mindful of where my food is coming from. And even if it is food from the grocery store, knowing, you know, the true cost of that food, whether it be to the environment, to the animal, all of that. So I guess that's number one. Number two, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to start growing my own food. So I actually built my garden beds this weekend. There will be a video up on that soon. I'm going to try to grow as much as I can here. We don't have a ton of sun in our backyard. It's just what we are given. So I'm going to do what I can with what we got. So we will see how this venture goes. Hopefully we can do that well. And I'm going to try to grow it all organically, which is going to be interesting for my first ever garden and my first time ever gardening in Alabama, which is drastically different from what I was used to growing up in Ohio.
Have you looked into the details of that yet? Like as far as growing it organic, do you just have to have organic soil and organic seeds, or is there more to it than that?
So if I was going to be like certified organic, which obviously I'm not because it's just for my own consumption, like a certified organic, you would have to have, you know, organic seed, organic soil, no pesticides whatsoever. Like literally you can't even use, like sometimes people use like, I think it's peroxide on certain weeds and stuff. You can't even use that. So it's like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I will do some more natural remedies that I think might not be considered organic, and not all the seeds that I got are organic, but they are all sustainably sourced.
That's cool.
You can still grow organically without organic seeds, but I am going to use organic soil and compost.
Perfect. You get to use your compost.
Well, my compost isn't ready yet.
Oh,
I know. I think it'll be ready. So here in Alabama, we get two growing seasons. So pretty much everything here is dead by July and August. And so then we replant, like I'll start seeds again in August to grow through the fall.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different crops then. But yes, we get two growing seasons. Yeah, it's just weird because like my harvesting will be in May, when that's when I know you in Ohio will just be getting things going.
Right.
So it's a little bit weird. I actually just saw one of the local farms has strawberries picking coming up in like the next week or two, which is just crazy. I know.
What?
I know.
I was just looking back at pictures from when I was pregnant with Victor, and we were picking strawberries the first week of June.
Yeah.
And that's a long ways away.
That is a long ways away. But yeah,
that's crazy.
It's really crazy. We're really south. That's what, I mean, I was talking to Josh's mom and she was like, I can't believe you already put stuff in by March 1st. And I was like, I'm actually a little bit late on some things. And she just couldn't even believe it. I'm like, I swear I'm not making this up. I've researched so much about when I'm supposed to plant everything. So it's just where we are. But then in the summer, it gets so hot, you can't even be outside and the bugs are so bad. So like, mid June to mid August, it's just death. Just no one is even outside. Like there's no one in the neighborhood, like nothing. Everyone's inside.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
That sounds wonderful though.
Yeah.
Eating fresh strawberries. So that hopefully means that the strawberries in the supermarkets up here will start to be better.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Because they have like zero flavor right now.
Yeah. No, it's not season.
No,
for sure.
Not at all.
But yeah, they said in the next couple weeks. So hopefully I will get to go do that.
That sounds great.
So I guess that was only two things that I talked about so far. I guess the third is just attempting to make as much as I can from scratch. So I don't always do it. That's for sure. Especially being a toddler mom. So I think that's the key to this whole thing is that like people are like, oh, you're going to be a homesteader. You're going to do all this stuff. And well, I try to like 80% of the time. Sometimes I just don't get to. Like, I do make a lot of my own bread, but I still buy bread, especially like with tonight's dinner. I knew that I would want rolls, and the kind of bread that I typically make, I actually let it rise overnight and I just wouldn't have time. So I just bought the frozen kind that you put in the oven.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's never perfect and it doesn't have to be. There's certainly things that I still do that are not from scratch, but for the most part, what we are eating is whole foods. Basically, that general principle, I'm sure that most people have heard it, where you try to only shop, you know, the perimeter of the grocery store, except for maybe the baking aisle with flour or whatever. But that's what we do.
So would you consider your, like, cleaning products and their lack thereof store-bought cleaning products as part of that?
Absolutely. So the whole homesteading for me is working toward, I mean, for me at the heart of it is a lot of sustainability, but also health. So the more I looked into, you know, conventional cleaning products and fragrance and all of that, which if you know me, you know that I definitely have always been one to consume all of these things. I was, you know, just buying regular cleaners from the store, grew up that way.
Like, not just any product. Like, you had all of the products.
Oh, yes.
Like,
every Bath & Body Works product. That's true.
Well, that. And I feel like, shower cleaner and floor cleaner and Windex and, like, all of them.
And now I really don't use very many conventional cleaners at all. I'm trying to think of what I use that's not, like, natural. Some things are better than others. Like, I still buy some store-bought ones, but I try to buy them in concentrate. So like I buy the Puracy brand cleaner in concentrated form. So I just mix it with water.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own counter cleaner now.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we did from our homesteading challenge on Instagram that I really need to do. Is I really need to make cleaner because it just is better. That's all there
you
is.
You have quartz, right? What's your countertop?
Yes, quartz.
So I will say I don't 100% know. So quartz is hard, but like granite is soft. Double check though if you could use vinegar on quartz because on granite you cannot.
You know what? That's a really good point because I think my mom actually just recently got quartz and they told her not to use vinegar. And I was like, really? They didn't tell me that.
Yeah. So vinegar is really harsh actually. So a lot of
almost which is why every, it's such a good cleaner.
Yeah, almost every homemade cleaner has vinegar in it, so you would have to not use the recipe that I use because I have fake countertops in my rental kitchen.
Right.
You'll just have to look up non-vinegar based natural cleaners. My guess is it would have a lot of lemon in it.
Oh yeah,
but
because right now I actually only pretty much use my Norwex cloths. It sounds crazy, people might think I'm crazy, I don't care, I really like them. And then if something is like really bad and I need to let it like soak, I use the Mrs. Meyers multi-surface whatever.
Yep.
But it doesn't happen very often.
And then I will say the one thing, I think we talked about it in another episode actually, is the toilet bowl cleaner, which I don't really use, but I do use, I use the brushes that have it in it already. So that's the one chemical I still use, but I could go without. That's like one of the few disposable things we do still have in our house, because I don't know why a toilet brush freaks me out so bad. I think part of it is because Jack gets into everything, and like even our toilet wand now, he like puts in his mouth. If he finds it.
I guess it's good for him. I don't know.
I don't think that's good for him.
Ours is locked in our cabinet.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, we could do that. I don't know why toilet brushes freak me out so bad. But like, yes, mine are disposable, but I've had the same wand. I moved it with me from Hawaii. So I've had it for years and years and years and years. So it's like, is that more disposable? Or like, because if I had a regular brush, I'd probably be replacing it a lot. So I don't know.
We've had our toilet bowl brush since we moved in.
Yeah, that's a pretty long time. I don't know why they freak me out.
My mom, when she cleans her toilets, she like uses a washcloth and like uses her hand and scrubs it by hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
You go, really, girl.
Right, like seeing her do it as a kid grossed me out, and even now to this day, like the water is clean, but like there's still
a poop trail on there,
right? And it obviously it's the last thing that she does when she's cleaning the bathroom. It still grosses me out.
I can now, I've come to the point where I can clean the toilet like any time of day, but I used to have to clean the toilet right before I showered, so I had to clean the toilet naked. I couldn't even be wearing clothes if I was cleaning the toilet because I didn't want to do my clothes.
Whoa, is that bad? I didn't know this.
And then I would have to get in the shower immediately.
Dang.
Yeah, which now I still try to do that, but I'm like, you know, just toddler mom life, you don't always get that opportunity. So.
Right. I never realized it was that bad.
Yeah. I don't know why it grosses me out so bad. But
I mean, it's like poop particles and stuff.
Yeah. But like, it doesn't like gross me out. Like I'm not like on the verge of puking from it or anything. I just don't want it on my clothes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I feel about cleaning though. I never clean in like good clothes.
No.
And I like to clean when I'm already dirty.
Yes. That's for sure. If I just took a shower, that toilet's not getting cleaned.
Nope. Nothing is getting cleaned.
No.
That's funny. What's really funny is I talked about last week about how I shower like 5 to 6 times a week.
You're just never cleaning.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, wait, let's backtrack this thing a bit, because obviously I kind of started off on this like sustainability journey, and then I've kind of always been on it, but obviously I was never doing it right with all of, you know, we've talked in the past about, well, we just talked about all the different products I was using, and I was like a major hyper consumer, which I still am to a point, but I feel like I buy way less stuff than I ever used to buy.
Way less.
Yeah. Like, and at least now, even if I am buying more, anything that I'm buying is more mindful. So it's not just junk that I'll get rid of in a second or whatever it might be. But I'm not claiming to be perfect at that by any means. I know I still buy a lot, but way less than I used to. So I guess my journey, I mean, I've always, I don't know, probably really started for me, it at least sparked something in me when I started working for the national park, probably.
Yeah, I think that is where it sparked. And then I feel like when you moved to Hawaii
Yeah.
is when it really became like real, because I feel like you had more support there, because a lot of the people around you were already living that way.
Yeah, absolutely. People in Hawaii, just in general, are better about being more eco-friendly. I mean,
Like
the
they were
ocean's
on
right
the no
there.
straw thing way earlier than anybody else,
Oh yeah.
for as just one example.
Oh yeah. And I think because they can see the effects right away. It's such a small island with so many people that if you're not doing these things, I mean, it's obvious to the environment, to the water, just all of it. So yeah, definitely kickstarted it in Hawaii and then really pushed off when I got pregnant. And I think the homesteading thing, whether we knew it was called homesteading or we decided to call it that or not, really kicked in for both of us, maybe when we became pregnant and we started
Yeah.
looking up different things about living more naturally.
Mine, I remember I had made a New Year's resolution. What was it? Was I pregnant? I think I was pregnant, but I didn't know it yet. And it was my New Year's resolution that year to get my home, to be cleaner, as far as the cleaning products go. That was my big focus, is to get the harsh chemicals out of our house and find a better way.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, with the harsh chemicals, so there's like a lot of debate about it. So some people say it doesn't really affect you because in small amounts, none of it affects you. But then, you know, in small amounts, small amounts, small amounts, whatever. You know, I believe that it really does. But what it 100% does affect is the environment. So even if you want to argue all day about whether it affects your health or not, it does affect the environment. But for me and all the research that I've done, I do feel like they affect hormonally, actually. They're hormone disruptors in them, and then also autoimmune diseases and like lo different lung diseases, which is probably the most obvious one as you're inhaling things. So a lot of those issues do run in my family, and while I don't think that cleaning supplies caused them in any way, I'm not like trying to say that that's what caused them. I think that it can't hurt to, you know, ease symptoms of any of it to get rid of all these things.
Definitely. I think my favorite one for me to watch of you is you learning how to cook from scratch more, because you were very picky growing up.
Yeah. I ate like
And
three
the
things.
yeah, and like the idea, like French fries, chicken nuggets, and butter noodles.
You could maybe add SpaghettiOs.
Oh, and cereal.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were very picky, and most of the food that you ate, or at least what you ate around me, because we were young and we ate fast food, but was processed. So it's really cool in my eyes to watch you reverse that and figure that part out, because that's a huge jump.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely affected my body a lot. I've talked about this a little bit on my YouTube channel, but I think that, well, I do eat a lot, but I do think that my family is just prone to gaining more weight. It just happens. But
Genetics, yeah.
I think that when I started eating more whole natural foods, I did notice that, well, I didn't lose weight by any means. I didn't gain weight as easily. So like right now I'm riding the bike a few nights a week and we go on a lot of walks every day. And that kind of just is like, for me, that's kind of all I need to do now to like maintain. Obviously, if I wanted to lose weight, I'd be needing to do a lot more, which I should be doing more, but you know, that's all I'm doing right now. So I really think that it's helped me there. And then I'm hoping that, I mean, fingers crossed, in the long run, it'll help me, you know, with anything that pops up health-wise. But
Definitely.
for me, this, what I want to do about this connecting to the food, so how I'm going to try to grow our own food here, and I'm going to try to increasingly source things from more local sources. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with it here, but I am. We just live, I don't know. There's just not a lot of options here. There are a lot of local farms that do certain things, but it's not organic. Anyway, I'm hoping to connect like Jack with these things. And so while he might not be passionate about it, he can at least see where the food comes from. And I think like whenever I watch YouTube channels of different farmers or homesteaders, their kids just go out in the garden, pick something and eat it from the garden. And I would love for Jack to grow up with that. And I think that when you grow something yourself, you're more likely to eat it. Like I'll probably grow some vegetables that I don't typically eat, but I'll probably eat them because I made them.
Definitely. And they always taste better from the garden. Like my yeah. mom and dad, they do a pretty big, nice garden every mm-hmm. year. And my favorite thing from their garden are their fresh tomatoes, which I like. But my mom, surprisingly, that's like the one vegetable, whatever, fruit, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, that she really doesn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Or raw tomatoes. She will eat her raw tomatoes.
Yep.
They're just so much better.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm hoping, because I was so picky growing up, and I know that Jack's going to go through many phases in his toddler years. I'm not, you know, immune to that. I know that he will go through many phases where he doesn't want certain things, but I'm just hoping that, you know, by seeing where things come from, he'll be more open to it at least.
Definitely. Yeah. It's pretty crazy how things cycle. So like when my mom was growing up, she grew up in Stowe, Ohio. And at that time, it was like a lot of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma and grandpa, I believe they have, I want to say it's 3 acres. I'm not sure. But like a decent amount of land, not a ton, like not farm size, but right. a decent amount. And that's where my grandpa wanted them to be. He worked for Goodyear, so he built tires. So he drove into downtown Akron every day, but that was okay with him because he wanted to live where he wanted to live. So point of the story is they had chickens and pigs, and they had huge gardens. My grandma always had beautiful, beautiful garden. Like not only was it like very successful, but it was beautiful too.
That's awesome.
That was the cool part. Yeah. But my mom has told us many stories about how they would have to go get the chicken for dinner.
Yep.
And they would hang it from the basketball hoop and pluck it.
And then chop its head off.
Yeah. And watch it run around.
Yeah.
That sounds so bad. But
my mom always talks about that from her grandparents. So she didn't grow up like that, but her grandparents had the chickens.
Yeah. And I just think that that's so cool. And it's so crazy how far away we've gotten from that in not that long of a time.
No.
Like my mom was born in 1958. So like, that's really not that long ago, but we have gone in a completely different direction.
Yeah. So yeah, my mom didn't grow up that way. So her grandparents had the farm, but then her parents, I haven't really talked to her too much ever about what she ate growing up, but I have a feeling that my grandma's house was, you know, those vintage cookbooks that have the really creepy, like, jello molds and, like,
yes. I don't even know,
like, like, the really fancy looking food that was popular in the 60s and 70s. I can just imagine that it was probably like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, exactly.
We should ask your mom. Maybe she'll comment on our post about what she ate growing up.
Yeah. Because I know that my grandma cooked, but I think a lot of it was more like the fashionable food, which then was starting to get into the world of like processed and packaged foods.
Right.
For sure. But I mean, I know she still cooked, and like my mom cooked all the time growing up. I didn't always eat what she cooked. She should have made me. But like, yes. I really wouldn't eat. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, she cooked all the time growing up, but definitely never like baking bread or like that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. See, my grandma bakes her own bread. And still to this day bakes her own bread.
Mm.
But My mom, not so much. Like, no. My mom doesn't, like, my grandma has, like, a bread maker, like, because that's how much bread she bakes. Mm-hmm. But my grandma or my mom just never really got into the whole bread thing. But, I mean, she cooks anything else.
Yeah.
And so also another crazy story about my mom's childhood is my mom has told me that my grandma went to the grocery store every day.
Wow.
Because she was getting things as fresh as she could for whatever she was having. Yeah.
I wonder how the process chains were. Because now if you went to the grocery store every day, it'd be the same stuff that was there yesterday.
Right. Yeah. But, that's
interesting. The processes might have been different than like getting your milk delivered to your front door every day.
Yes. Can you imagine? And eggs?
That'd be super cool.
Yeah. Although I do know there's like crazy stories about like the chickens laying eggs. And then my grandpa would bring them inside and put them under the heat lamp to make them grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. But anyways.
I want chickens so bad. But I'm purposely not going to have a rooster. So that way I never have an egg surprise.
So you just want chickens?
Well, no. They'll lay eggs, but they won't be fertilized. So they will never.
Oh, gotcha.
Come to.
Yes.
Like I'll never crack open an egg with a scary surprise in it.
Yes. That's a good idea.
Yes. So way backing up here. So me and you started a challenge of homesteading. So we both got pregnant and then we decided we wanted to live just like a more mindful life in general, I guess would be the best way to put it. Neither of us are perfect by any means in any of these categories, but I think we've definitely moved towards, you know, towards the right direction. And then 2020 happened. Yeah. 2020 happened and everyone started doing this kind of thing. One, because the grocery stores didn't have anything. So people were trying to figure out how to make stuff with what they had. That's when people are really learning how to make their own bread. And like that idea of preparedness, I think was in the back of everybody's mind where like, oh, should I have like more pantry staples? Should I have, you know, this backup
yeast plan? You couldn't find yeast here.
I know.
Yeah. That was huge.
I had to order mine online.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. So in the fall of 2020, me and you created the Homestead Challenge, Instagram challenge. And we just challenged people to something new each week. Well, I think, let's see, we made sauerkraut to start our fermenting journey. By the way, I have the creepiest sauerkraut right now. I need to throw it away, but I've been afraid to open it. Some mold on the top of your sauerkraut is okay, but what I have going on in this experimentation jar on my shelf is not okay.
Hey, I never asked you, how is your kimchi?
Good. I don't love kimchi, so mostly Josh ate it.
Yeah.
But I actually still have some. I think it's good for 6 months, so it should still be good. It was just way too much kimchi for one human to eat.
Yeah.
Because I just don't really like it.
Or especially if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do really like fermenting foods. This year I want to get into canning foods, but I recently asked on Instagram what people wanted to see me do next, but it doesn't make any sense to can right now because right now the produce isn't, you capture the produce when it's at its best. So when I'm getting things from my garden and I'm, you know, if I have way too many tomatoes I can eat in a week, that's when you can them, when they're at their, you know, peak.
Right. The one thing that comes to my mind or the biggest thing is cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When they all come out and you, well, I don't even like cucumbers, but I will make a lot of pickles probably this year.
Definitely. Yeah. I want to try some sweet pickles this year.
Mm. We made the garlic pickles during our challenge last time and people really liked them. I don't like pickles, but people really liked them, but they were really garlicky, like maybe
really
a little too
garlicky.
Maybe a little too garlicky, but just a little less. And I think they would have been perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fun figuring these things out now.
Yeah.
And I talked about it way back then about my mom jarred or canned everything.
Our moms did it together for a while. Did you know that?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't doubt it. But
they
I
both lived
realize...
on Myrtle. They did this together.
That's so fun.
I'm 99% positive.
That sounds right. Yeah, they used to jar or can everything.
Yeah. For some reason, canning really scares me because I'm afraid I'm going to blow up the jars. Because I'm really uncoordinated. Just with
the
in
only,
general.
The only things that I have ever canned actually didn't need canned. What's the process? I don't even know what that process is called, where you actually have to like dip it in water.
In boiling water?
Yeah.
That's pressure canning.
Yes. So I've only done pickles, which didn't need it, and peppers with my mom. Mm. And
yeah,
that
I've never
didn't
done
need it
it
either. Because I think it's because of the vinegar that's in the peppers and the cucumbers, which is why they don't need that pressure.
Yeah, that's why we did the ferments. Typically,
right.
Pickling is fermenting.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know why I'm scared I'm going to blow up the jars.
Yeah, just to practice one or two and you'll be fine.
I mean, I have 1,000 mason jars, so it'll be okay. But
yeah, well, I know, but not, it's not fun having glass everywhere.
No. No.
But like
jam. You know, goggles.
There you go.
Yes, I want to do like a jalapeno jelly this year.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good.
Jalapeno jam. I don't know the difference.
We need to write
I'm not
down
a good homesteader.
These things. We need to write these things down so that we remember and actually do it this time.
Yes. So that was like a little bit into our journey of homesteading. And while we use this word homestead, obviously neither of us live on traditional homesteads. It's just our way of saying, you know, about this life that we are trying to live. And, you know, also not, I don't want anybody to feel bad if they are, you know, where we were at any given point, because let me tell you, I was probably the worst of the worst consumer and chemical user, not like drug user, but but I was the absolute worst. So I don't want anybody to feel like, oh gosh, they're shaming me. Like, I
oh no,
want
there's
this
no
to be,
shame in this game.
No, I want this to be an encouragement to just make one simple change, one at a time. Whether it's stop using paper towels, maybe get rid of your chemical cleaner that you use to your counters every day and make your own, which is like literally so easy, like way easier than it sounds. You know, maybe it's making something from scratch that you've never made before, just something simple. So I think that that's going to be this week's challenge, is going to be make something that you've never made before from scratch. So that can be a recipe, it can be a cleaning product. And I'm actually going to widen this challenge. If you would rather make a swap, like a sustainable swap. So I don't know. I know that some people use disposable dishes every day. Don't do that. Just don't do that.
Yeah. And if that's your swap, even if like you do it for the week and figure it out, it takes time to figure it out. Like we go through a lot of dishes.
Yeah.
Like we have, I think we have 8 small rounds and mm-hmm. then 8 large rounds, and I don't really enjoy using the large ones because they're just bulkier, bigger, like
yeah.
We just don't need that much space on our plate. But sometimes the dishwasher is just not ready to be run yet, and we get to the big plates, and that's what we use. Like sometimes I have to just cut something up for Victor, or I'm mixing something, whatever it is, and I'm using a big plate, but at least it's not a paper plate.
Yeah, exactly. So your challenge this week is to do one thing that you've never done before. This week, I'm going to make soap, which is also something that scared me because you use lye, which is like poisonous and deadly. But I don't know. That's what I'm attempting to do this week. I'm actually going to film a video on it. If I don't get it this week, I will get it to it by the weekend because I have to. But I'm really interested. I'm going to make some kind of like dandelion-based soap. You can actually use dandelions, have a lot of good health properties. Some people ingest them, but I don't feel like doing that.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take, and yes, we do have dandelions here already. I know you're probably going to be jealous that we already have weeds.
We haven't seen the grass in a month.
I know. I'm sorry about it.
That's okay. It's coming this week.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
But I'm going to make soap. What do you want to do?
I think I'm going to do a counter cleaner.
Yes, you
I'll
should.
I'll have to look it up and see what I can use on quartz. But even if it's just lime or lemon and something.
You should post it either to the just to the Instagram if you find a good one, because I can post my recipe too for the vinegar based cleaner. And that one's really good to use too, if you want to use it on, like, you could use that one on toilets. If anybody is familiar with Yug Living stuff, I'm not an MLM person whatsoever, but I do have their Thieves cleaner.
I've heard Thieves is amazing.
It's really similar to Thieves, the one I make, like really similar. Uh-huh. It's technically a different ingredient because Thieves is like its own, I think it's a plant or an herb. I don't know. But this one, I've had both, and this is like exactly the same as that in the smell, in the functionality, and all that.
Very cool.
Yeah, but you can definitely use that for other surfaces, just not porous real stone.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll look it up and I'll post it on the story and let everybody know what I found.
Perfect.
Just in case you have quartz at home too.
Yes, or granite. Granite is definite no-no. Oh, for yes. Sure.
Yes.
So guys, thank you so much for listening to our story this week about our homesteading journeys. And don't forget to let us know what you plan to make this week on Instagram at Dwelling On Podcast, and tag us. If you do make any Instagram stories or anything of what you made this week, then tag us in your photos and let us know what you make. So we will talk to you next week on Wednesday. Until next time, friends. Cheers.
Cheers.